Podcast Detroit studios in the heart of the Motor City. This is Art Junkies. All right, let's do this. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 26 of Art Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and this episode is sponsored by Blue Demon Ace Wipes. Say you're out in the field, you're on the job, and you want to clean your base metal with some acetone to ensure the highest quality weld possible. But you don't necessarily want to carry a bottle of acetone around with you. Blue Demon Welding Products have created the Ace Wipes, which is a handy alternative to a portable bottle of acetone. Ace Wipes come in a sealed pouch, perfect for your toolbox or weld bag. All you do is rip it open, clean your base metal, and throw it away. Start welding and making money. They also come in super handy to wipe down your TIG rod before you start, just in case you're using something that might have a little bit of contaminants on it. The stuff is absolutely awesome, and it's super handy. Blue Demon Welding Products, Ace Wipes. I have a couple in my own weld bag that I carry with me, and I absolutely love these things. This episode is also brought to you by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, and new to the lineup, affordable custom logos to watermark your online content, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. Also, you should check out WeldDevils on Instagram to see the constantly growing community of badass welders out there really contributing to the trade and helping each other out, answering questions, giving tips and tricks. It's actually pretty amazing. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. All right, this episode I chop it up with Justin the Fabricator, the host of the Fabrication series on YouTube. We've had a lot of YouTubers on lately. It's been a lot of fun, kind of unique and changing it up a little bit. Season 4 of the Fabrication series is underway, and I talked to Justin a little bit about what to expect in Season 4. Also, we chat about his upcoming TIG class that he's hosting with Weld.com's Bob Moffitt. Going to be very exciting. If you haven't seen this, it's completely sold out, so it's definitely something that you're going to want to get a hold of the next time he's doing a class. We talk about his unique teaching style, a little bit about his history. This was a really fun episode to do, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Justin the Fabricator. Last I talked to you, you said you were getting ready to launch Season 4 of the Fabrication series, which, by the way, is awesome. I seriously binged a shitload of episodes yesterday. What can we look to expect with Season 4?
Well, it's the biggest thing about it. Season 1 was like probably the biggest thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It was they liked the fact that I talked to the camera. They liked that I actually gave the instructions and all the rest of that stuff. But the biggest problem with doing all of that is it took a ton of time for me to cut all these videos together, to shoot it, and then, you know, to sit there and watch like 20 or 30 minutes worth of video, you know, just to do, you know, a 5-minute job, you know, at home is kind of it was a little ridiculous. So throughout the, you know, subsequent seasons, you know, through 2 and 3, it was about how to get the same amount of information in a shorter amount of time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately doing that, you lost the connection, I guess you could say, with me, where I was actually talking to the camera, where I was, instead of just doing voiceover or, you know, anything like that, or doing like speeding up everything, we're actually in Season 4, we're kind of taking some of those requests to slow it back down, or to get back to like a Season 1 kind of a style to it. So I'm going to combine basically Seasons 1, 2, and 3 with that style and present the lesson again with, well, pretty much me in front of the camera instead of behind a microphone.
And you said that you're doing like you're rebuilding the entire studio to get the new feel for Season 4 as well.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is I've actually, since TFS has grown so rapidly over the last 3 years, I've been able to focus more on that and less on the actual builds, because, I mean, I run the business. I build cars, you know, miscellaneous fabrication projects that come in and out of the shop all day long. But now I get to focus a little bit more on media because it's actually starting to come around and pay a little bit. So every year we always do something new for TFS to kind of really improve it. I always take what I actually earn from shooting TFS and, you know, all the rest of that good stuff in the shop. So last year we launched like the welding and fabrication classes. We actually built a studio with a green screen so I could actually start getting on there and making the videos a lot quicker. some people love the green screen, some people didn't, you know, but either way, it's there. We're using it. And this season, since I need to kind of approach every episode in a unique way, or to kind of really push it to be able to talk to the camera and actually show the work that I'm doing, we had to literally kind of gut a whole section of my shop, build a new set of studio lights up overhead, and give a nice little backdrop, well-lit area, so we can actually get in there, shoot everything, and do it all again. So it involved ripping the entire shop apart, trying to re-engineer these ways to store everything, because my shop's actually not that big. But, you know, trying to find new ways to store something to actually create some more space and make it more like a studio to actually work in, and less like an actual like production in and out shop that it has been for, you know, all these years. So it's kind of tricky, but definitely fun trying to set it all up. And I really look forward to jumping in there and actually using the studio and working the new shop and how it all works and all the rest of that good stuff. So, but yeah, it's involving. usually takes about a week or two of nothing but downtime to just rip everything apart and then redo it from scratch. It's difficult, to say the least.
You mentioned that you're doing the welding and fabrication classes as well. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I did see a recent video that you posted where you've teamed up with Weld.com's Bob Moffitt. And
Bob Moffitt.
Yeah, and you guys are actually going to be teaching a TIG welding class here. Is that correct? That's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's going on the 16th and 17th. We're doing two classes. But yeah, I bumped into Bob at FabTech, and just, you know, met him, chatted with him. He's an awesome guy. And I just, you know, I started working with a lot of different, celebrities, if you will. Recently, I did a class with Justin Kramer from Discovery Channel's Vegas Rot Rods. That was an awesome class. And that, you know, that dude knows how to weld. He's a hell of a fabricator, too. And it's more about, you know, now it's like, okay, who else could I bring in to do it? So I pitched the idea to Bob. It was just like, hey, you know, maybe you want to come out to Vegas and run a class with me. Well, you know, teach some people some really awesome stuff. And hell, I'm pretty sure I'm going to learn something out of it, too. And he just flat out, he says, I'll do it. He says, I'm honored. I'll run out there and run this class with you. And I'm just, I was like so humbled at that moment. I'm like, really? Like, you're okay. Let's do it. Hell yeah. I'm all for it. And, you know, he's on board. So yeah, he's coming out here for 2 days, and the classes, they sold out so fast. I think it was just because of him. But yeah, it's just, he's coming out here. We're gonna knock this out and have a whole lot of fun doing it too, because he's really awesome. Even when he's not on camera, he's a really awesome dude. Kind of cool to chat with, hang out with, and all the rest of that good stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it, at least.
So for those that are coming out there that might be listening to this, what's the classroom structure like that you have set up?
It's in the shop. It's very hands-on. We don't focus a lot, or at least in my classes, we don't focus a lot on, you know, sitting in front of some whiteboard or a chalkboard or being like, here's how you weld, here's this, here's that. It's a very advanced, very progressive style, very quick. So within about 30 to 45 minutes of coming in on one of the larger classes, you're on that machine and you're stacking, you're starting to run it. And, you know how to set up the machine and all the rest of the stuff. We go through all of that, but it's very immersive. So you instead of just jumping in there and, you know, getting all this theory beforehand, we stick you on the machine. We teach you the theory and the actual practice as you're doing it. So it's very rapid, very accelerated learning style, and it works for so many people, you know, across all these different age ranges. I've had kids as young as 13, and I think the oldest guy who's shown up so far was like 73. Wow. And everybody is learning from the style, and it seems to be working out exceptionally well.
What are some of the ways that you find to connect with your students to inspire them to really pursue or even advance their career in welding when you're doing these classes?
You have to really watch how they work. I mean, I know my style of welding is unique to me. So one of the things that we do, and even the other instructors that I have come in here, one of the things that we do, instead of teaching them how we do it, we try to dig out what they're doing. So maybe they'll grip a TIG torch kind of funky, you know, or try to do it just like us. But instead of sitting there saying, here's how you grip it, it's more like, here's what looks more natural to you. Here's what actually seems like it's going to fit for you. And we can see them when they're sitting there. It's, you know, if if their hands all wonky and they can't seem to get a, you know, good grip on it, or it's a, you know, they got so much angle or so crazy, you know, some crazy little grip on it, we're going to stop them right there and say, look, what actually feels right while you're doing this? So it's just a matter of finding their style or identifying their style, not necessarily saying, here's how we do it, and that's what you should try to duplicate. It's more about watching them, figuring out where they're comfortable, checking out the result, and then evaluating that result. So as soon as you actually see what they do, it's not a matter of you did it wrong. It's more like, here's how we can do this better. Try it again, do it this way, and we'll see if we can, and see if that improves. So it's not really like a here's your right or wrong concept. It's here's how you should be doing it. And then just finding that connection is just done by watching them. You just got to see how they work, you know. And I've worked with so many different people over the years. Before we started the classes, I was teaching people how to weld, and it was just always being able to find that little spot inside where they were, you know, they here's how it would work for them. Just somehow that always kind of came naturally. And I just kind of really focused on that. And when the other instructors that come in, I always teach them how to do that or how to connect with them like that. It's just watching them and trying to evaluate and improve on what they're doing, not necessarily what I'm doing. So, I mean, as long as the weld passes and the procedure was correct, you know, it's good. And it really is just a matter of teaching them that, but get them to do it in their own style.
So you make it very personal.
Very. Yeah. Even if we have a classroom, of like six people or, you know, 10, it's still, you know, you're getting a one-on-one. So I could be talking to, you know, guy in chair A and, you know, guy in chair B. I'll tell guy in chair A, here's what you need to do, but that's not necessarily applicable to guy in chair B. So I'll scoot over to chair B. Here's what you should do. You know, it's all extremely personal about how each person learns and the lesson they receive. So even if they're coming in just to learn how to do aluminum, they'll technically get two different lessons.
I'm very curious because you're a very educated guy when it comes to this. So I really want to know I like to ask everybody, what was their journey to the arc? You know, what inspired you to become a welder and eventually even get into the performance automotive industry?
Well, ever since I was young, I always loved cars. I loved mechanical things. I always took stuff apart, put it back together. You know, I was like, I guess I get the classic story. I took a lawnmower apart, put it back together, and it didn't run when I took it apart. And then it did when I put it back together. So I was like, I don't have a clue what I just did, but that was fun. So naturally, I gravitated toward working on cars, became a mechanic. And I was working at a dealership, and I was a Viper Tech trainee. And I couldn't do the recall that they had on it because it involved welding. So watch the other guys come in, and they're, you know, blasting beads down on this. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I go to the body shop and just ask one of the guys, I'm like, hey, bro, show me how to weld real quick. And it was, you know, I was thinking, okay, yeah, that'll be the best way to do it. So he gives me this little tiny little lens, like little 2-inch lens. And he's like, oh, yeah, just hold that up under your face right there and just, you know, point the gun there, pull the trigger, you know, and just, you know, just squiggle it around a little bit. And you're, you know, you're good to go. And I'm just like, so there's all the sparks are flying, metal's hot, everything. I'm just like, I'm addicted to it. I couldn't stop doing it. So buy a welder the next day, tear apart everything in my shop, in my garage at home, and just find anything that was metal to stick together. No clue what I was doing. Tore up perfectly good stuff to do this. So it was like, okay, well, now I really got to learn. Take a couple of quick classes. Hang out with other guys. You know, we call them the old heads that are willing to teach you something. I go hang out with them, learn as much as I can. And then eventually I got into TIG welding, which is probably about 8, 9, 10 years ago is when I first picked up a TIG. And it was completely foreign to me. It was like using, you know, all these different appendages on my body to control this. But I was obsessed with the fact that you could do so much or get so much control out of it that, you know, like it always held my focus. And of course, when I started TIG welding, it was like my whole world disappeared because I'm so focused on what I'm doing that my entire world just vanished. And I felt so good as long as I was welding. And it's just like, I just kept on going more. Then all the exotic metals came in, and then learning the different styles and techniques and learning, you know, how each one of them flows and works and everything else like that. I just became addicted, and I just couldn't stop doing it. So somehow, you know, I'm a mechanic, and, you know, people wanted something welded. There's always somebody who wants something welded. And I always built my own vehicles for lack of money. It was just because I, you know, I don't have the money to go pay some shop to go make all this cool stuff that I want. So I learned how to do that, you know, little engineering here, a little this, a little that, you know, and just put it all together. And then eventually people just wanted me to do stuff for them. So here I go, got to learn how to do it and start making it all happen. And just over what, 18 years now, that's just all I've been doing is just building cars and, well, pretty much anything that walks in the door can get built. There's a lot of odd jobs and a lot of different things that, that we do to there are a lot of different things that we build and yeah. lost my train of thought.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So you've always been kind of a gearhead?
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I've always been very mechanical in my brain. So even if you ask my parents when I was younger, they used to get so mad that I'd be taking a bunch of junk apart, you know, perfectly good stuff, you know, stereos and all this, that, and the other. And being able to look at something, identify it, take it apart, put it back together, know what exactly this stuff is. You know, it was always very natural to me. It's something I always did, but I guess it's just, you know, when I was, you know, like a teenager and stuff, it was always my bikes, you know, my bicycles. Building ramps. I always loved like engineering the design of the ramp. Didn't know what I was doing, but it was like, you know, I'm like, okay, it's got to have the structure. It's going to have this curvature to it. Here's the backbone. Here's how you set it up to make it strong, you know, all this other stuff. And then taking apart the bikes and putting them back together or combining like six different bikes to make one really funky looking bike, you know, totally custom, painting it, whatever. It was just, that's what it was. And then suddenly, you know, here I am 16, got a driver's license.
Yeah, bikes don't matter now. Now it's the car.
Now it's the car. So then it was, you know, learn about as much as I can. I went to school. You know, I've been to school a bunch of times. I just keep on going back and back and, you know, until I can learn more. You know, just keep on, you know, if it had power, I wanted it. That's all it was. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, this power is cool. Can I make more power? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, this handle's pretty nice. Can I make it handle better? You know, what can I do? It's always just in my brain. It doesn't matter what it is. I look at anything and I'm like, can I make that better? Can I do something to really push that further than what it actually is or what it's used to or what it's supposed to be? You know, it doesn't matter if it's got an engine on it or if it's a desk lamp. I'll be like, can I make that brighter? Can I, you know, point the light over in this direction? You know, can I make it look cool? Can the switch be better? You know, it's just whatever it is, I look at it and I'm like, something has to be better about that. Something has to be like more efficient or, you know, more unique. But cars, engines, power, motorcycles, choppers, whatever. I mean, if it's got an engine on it, I like it.
What's the car scene like out in Vegas? Because in here,
terrible,
like, terrible. Because we're here, I'm here in the Motor City, man, and you know, this is where cars are born. But it's seasonal because, you know, it's 8 months out of the year, it's cold and rainy here, and then we've only got.
I had to learn about that.
Yeah, we've only got a couple months here where it's actually nice, and you see all the nice cars, and you see people racing down at Mylan Dragway and all that. So I'm curious. I mean, you got pretty nice weather almost all year out there, so I would assume that it's just constantly going out there.
You would think, but you know, as far as like the racing scene, those guys all pretty much keep to themselves. You know, we have drag strip, we have NASCAR track out here, whatever, but you know, most of the race guys, they just kind of keep to themselves, their own little clique. That's kind of the way that they work. Mm-hmm. We do have like some road racing, autocross, time attack, stuff like that. We've got all those, and I build for a few of them, but the general car scene out here is pretty whack. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's, I mean, Vegas, I was born and raised in Vegas. It's my hometown, but it's a very transient town. So you got people coming in and out all day long, all year long, you know, so you see, there's not a lot of scene, if you will, for people with cars. And there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of dumbasses and there's a lot of other, you know, things that just these crowds, a lot of these crowds don't mingle well just because you've got so many personalities from all these other places or what they're used to, you know. So it's the majority of it, I usually stay out of it anyway. I just kind of mingle with like the serious people, the, you know, serious, like I'm dedicated to my build, I race, or, you know, I got a badass show car or whatever it is. I mean, I usually just kind of mingle with those guys and not necessarily like the scene kids that are, you know, running around with their whatever they got. It's usually you either got a Honda, a Mustang, or a BMW. And I'm like, yeah.
going back to the fabrication series, when did you kind of decide that you wanted to actually start the YouTube channel and then, you know, put the effort into doing this? Were you just kind of like, you know, you liked making videos, or how did you more or less fall into that?
Years ago, I mean, this is the fabrication series is now just about 3 years old. Next month it hits its 3 year mark. Mm-hmm. But years before that, I always had this knack for teaching. I was just like, whenever somebody would come in and they ask a question, they're just like, hey, how do you do this? I was always like, just drop what I'm doing, explain it, and they all understood. And then seeing their face light up when it's just like, ding, I got it. I'm like, that's an addiction. That literally is an addiction. What I, you know, I'll make somebody laugh. I'll make, you know, somebody smile. I make somebody light up when they totally understand something that was like completely foreign to them before. That's like my life. I love that. And, of course, building something that always came about, you know, somebody had an idea. They're like, I want my car to look like this. And I do that. And, you know, their face lights up. So it's, that's really what I'm chasing, when I do all this stuff. And, I always thought, you know, there's some info on YouTube at the time, you know, there's like shit, 5-6 years ago, there's some info out there, but not enough. It was like, you'll see some dude with like a cell phone or a camera pointed at himself being like, yeah, here's how I'm going to fix my car. Here's how I'm going to build this. And then it's like, I'm going to show you step by step. And like 2 minutes later, it's like, that's how it's done. And it's like, well, you didn't actually see anything get done. You just saw before when it wasn't there. And then after when it is there, it's like, this is junk. Like you didn't show anybody how to do anything. And it was kind of getting kind of out of hand, if you will. I'm sitting there like in a Jack in the Box one day, and I'm watching these two guys being like, oh yeah, I want to swap out my Supra, the engine in my Supra. And the dude's like, well, I don't know how to do that. He's like, I don't either. Let's look on YouTube. And they're sitting there, they're fast forwarding through this video. And I can't imagine the video was more than like 5 or 10 minutes long. And they're like, oh yeah, I can do that. Yeah, this guy did it. That's cool. I know how to do that. Yeah, let's go do that. And I'm like, oh my God. So it just always something that was in the back of my brain. I'm like, well, man, I could make a video. I could do something. But I never had the time to do it until I was injured when I was in the Navy. And then they retired me. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, in my 30s, I'm just sitting there doing nothing. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'll pick up the camera. I'll make a couple of episodes. You know, here's some common stuff. Just, you know, if somebody likes it, cool. If somebody hates it and I get flamed or, you know, beaten to death about it, whatever. You know, who cares? So I put up a few episodes, and then here come all the people. They're just like, I want more. Hey, well, you show how to do this. How do you do that? And then I'm selling articles to magazines, and then I'm becoming a published writer, and then I'm making guest appearances in places, and you know, and then here's all these companies that want to work with me. Most of them junk. Like I still get mystery tools that show up at the door. Like it's just a package, and it's some, you know, $10 heat gun with a little note, you know, dear fabricator, mister, you know, please use heat gun. Hour is great. Put on video. You know, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, it'll show up and I send it right back.
Yeah.
You know, or there's other companies that are like, hey, you know, we'll give you this stuff for free if you just put it on a video. And I'm like, if there's no merit whatsoever to your product, it's not going on my channel.
Right.
End of story.
Right.
You know, everything goes through a test. Everything goes through a procedure. Everything goes through my hands, students' hands, like welding machines, for example. If a welding machine shows up, it made it through about 6 months worth of trial between me, daily use, students, when they come in here, because they thrash the machines, they beat them up.
Oh yeah.
So if it survives, it gets on the channel. It's really simple. So that's another, you know, it's just another one of those things that just, you know, kind of graduated and became, you know, what it is today. It's really strange how it all worked, and it all just was pretty much, you know, TFS spawned out of boredom. It's like I had nothing to do, and I was like, oh yeah, well, I might as well, you know.
Well, I'm glad that it's taken off for you, man. It's very informative. It's guaranteed one of the best channels on YouTube. And I want to thank you so much for telling your story and sharing what we can expect on the next season. I'm very excited for it. And before I let you go, please plug your social media and your channel so that people that aren't familiar with this and listening to this episode can now find you.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for having me on, of course. I really appreciate that. But YouTube is the Fabrication Series. If you search TFS, pretty much anything, you'll find just about every video we've got. YouTube, let me try it again. YouTube. YouTube is the Fabrication Series, or you can just search TFS and you'll find it pretty much every single episode. Instagram is the.fabricator. and Facebook is the Fabrication Series. So every single one of those outlets, I'm always on there. I'm always responding. You know, you can get a hold of me like 6,000 ways, or you can go to the FabricatorSeries.com website. There's still some good stuff up there, information about classes, other ways to get a hold of me, and all the rest of that good stuff. It's all there.
All right, man. Thanks so much for your time, like I said, and I look forward to season 4.
Hell yeah.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are downloaded, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Radio Public. If you're an Apple iTunes listener, please remember to hit subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. And leave a review, too, because your reviews ultimately help this show reach more people and gain further up on the rankings. You can email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. And if you're interested in supporting this podcast, head over to patreon.com/arcjunkies, where for Patreon members only, right now, there's a limited supply of Arc Junkies snapback trucker hats. These hats are super sweet. You can go on the Instagram right now and check out the pictures that we have of them. Any help, of course, is much appreciated. And until next time, work safe and weld hard.